CFR supporters and by Buffalo Wild Wings, featuring 36 beers on tap, wall-to-wall HD TVs with non-stop sports, wings, and more at 801 East Avenue, open every day from 11 a.m. till midnight and beyond. More information at BuffaloWildWings.com. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports.
All right. Well, gentlemen, I appreciate the read. No one wants to hear me read out loud today. Jaime just walked in the building. Hey. Jaime is
Good evening.
He's training. He's looking to have his own show here on 90.1 KZFR. So we invited Jaime to come in and talk to the people. So, gentlemen, let's go ahead and jump right into this. Sound good?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's start with the Warriors-Blazers. Because obviously with the injury to Steph Curry that we talked at nauseam last week, there was a lot of uncertainty about how that would play out. And then less than 24 hours later, we get the news that Chris Paul and Blake Griffin are out for the remainder of the playoffs. And now we have it that the Blazers were able to advance. And the Warriors quite literally caught a break. So now we have Warriors-Blazers. And the Warriors won easily yesterday. Did all of you get a chance to see the game or at least catch some highlights?
Yeah, saw the basic rundown of how it came about.
Yeah, if you saw the box score, then you saw the game. It was never close. The Warriors were up 20 in the first half. But I don't think the interesting talking point is this series so much as it is the condition of Warriors superstar Steph Curry. There's been a lot of debate. Steph Curry is saying he wants to be back by game three, which would take place this Saturday in Portland. And I was just wondering, I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that. Maybe we'll start with you, Noobs.
Well, I mean, personally, I wouldn't rush him back. You know, Saturday would be less than 2 weeks, I think, from the initial injury, which I believe happened the Sunday before yesterday. So, you know, to me, it's like they've got the Blazers in hand. You know, I mean, Portland's a good team. Lillard's a good player. But, I mean, you know, the Warriors are just so deep. You know, Klay Thompson obviously had a great performance yesterday. They just, you know, to me, it's like if you're up, you know, I would only bring him back. If I was Steve Kerr, I'd only bring him back if the series was in doubt, if you were in trouble.
Definitely.
Like if it was like 2-1, 2-2, then maybe bring him back just to make sure you advance. But I honestly think they could sweep the Blazers or even get done in like five. You know, Portland's a good home team, so I could see them winning one up there in Portland at the old Rose Garden. But, you know, for the most part, I think just rest up because it's really all about San Antonio.
Agreed.
I agree with everything you just said. In case, you know, you bring out Steph in case of an emergency kind of deal. You know, you don't want to rush him back. We all know his history. I'm not saying that he's going to, you know, it's going to be the same because early on in his career, he ran into a lot of injuries. We all know that.
Yeah.
But I wanted to backtrack here a bit. The Clippers, I feel really bad for them. Like, we all know they were a team that was on the up and up. I feel like they are cursed. I do. There is that team. I mean, for two of their star players to go down in the same game within minutes of each other, that's huge. And I really felt for them that next day when I heard the news of how severe the injuries were going to be. Because I feel like this summer, that team might be looking at some roster changes.
Well, actually, Doc Rivers just came out today, in fact, and said he's not trading any of the big three. Mm. So that's obviously DeAndre Jordan, Chris Paul, Blake Griffin. They're saying they don't need a remodel or they don't need a rebuild. And I think that's questionable, but it's...
I mean, if they think that they have the pieces right now, is that what he's trying to say? They don't need to rebuild anything? Like, they're just going to keep it as such? Because even then, so I don't think you're getting past, you know, a full San Antonio or a full Warriors. So I still think there's got some building they got to do, some extra pieces. They're still not there as being the championship team. They're definitely a very good team. This, I say, a few pieces away from being where, like, the Warriors are or San Antonio.
I think this will be a very interesting summer on that note because there's a lot of Dirk Nowitzki just recently. He opted out, but there's a lot of monopoly money out there this summer.
Yeah, Dirk's not going to leave Dallas.
No chance.
Yeah. He'll retire
no chance.
A Maverick.
Yeah.
I was going to say, there's also, like I said, you got Kevin Durant going on free agent market this summer too, so there's going to be a frenzy for him. So it's just a lot of,
I think that if he's going to go to LA though, he'll be a Laker.
I think so, too.
I really do. I know that the last few years, the Clippers have been the premier team in that market. But historically, I mean, let's be honest, it's still the Clippers. You know, you want to be a Laker, and, you know, they've got a lot of young talent.
Yeah, still the Clippers.
You know, and regardless, like, you know, like you, like Jaime just said, you know, I don't know if they're cursed, you know, because, you know, obviously we're in the post-Donald Sterling era, you know, but, you know, maybe it's just something about them. And, you know, we were talking last week about their camaraderie, you know, and I just don't know if it's there. And granted, that's not going to account for guys getting injured, you know. But, you know, talking about this team, this has been those three main pieces have been on that team now for, what, 5 years?
Yep.
4 or 5 years.
There's another team I want to throw in there built like that is Memphis. They have a lot of questions, too, because they've been built the same way for more or less 4 or 5 years, similar to the Clippers, where they have Gasol, you have Randolph and Conley.
Yep.
They're all in the same boat, so yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. Memphis is getting older. I was hoping Z-Bo would get at least a run, because I love to watch that guy play.
Yeah.
But
his
non-jumping
self. Know, yeah.
I mean, his like interior moves in the basket, the way he's able to shuffle his feet and get his own rebound up close and his putbacks. He's a scorer, you know, not a great shooter, but a great scorer. And they were a lot of fun to watch, you know, especially a couple of years ago when they knocked off San Antonio. But the West is just so deep. I mean, to your guys' point, it's like, what can the Clippers do to rebuild? They need a good defender. They need a knockdown three-point shooter besides Redick.
Yep.
You know, they need a few pieces. They've got three really good pieces, but they need more.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at how deep San Antonio is. They play 10 or 11 guys that get, like, significant minutes.
Right.
You know what I mean? Golden State, deep teams. And I just don't see L.A. coming out of the West. I feel like they're actually probably on the way down.
Yeah, I mean, if they keep it status quo, keep all the same players, they're still right where they were at the beginning of this season. Yeah. The third or fourth best team in the West, and I don't see them, like you said, Noobs, I don't see them leapfrogging over Golden State, certainly. Even if Tim Duncan retires, I don't see them leapfrogging the Spurs. And OKC, unless they make some major change, I don't see the Clippers being much better than OKC either.
I posted something on social media the day of the game, the Thunder, when they were playing the Spurs. I'm like, can they make a trade right now? Can they do something right now? Because it just didn't look fair. Like, I mean, you can't keep playing the type of basketball that the Thunder are playing, that two-man and everyone else kind of, you know, fend for yourselves offense. Like, you can't keep doing that. And
well, yeah, to speak about that series real quick, I mean, it doesn't help when LaMarcus Aldridge goes 18 for 23 shooting and scores 38 points. And this team, let's face it, OKC is not built to win a championship because they're not very deep. And they have two of the top five basketball players in the league. We've touched on this before. But what do they have around them? Serge Ibaka is a serviceable player. He's good. He's not great. And then other than that, I mean, Dion Waiters, I mean, Steven Adams, they don't have a ton of players who can create for themselves, and they haven't built a team around KD and Westbrook that moves the ball very well. And you see all their shots are contested. When they get into these later rounds, we've seen this year after year that they're having to play hero ball and create these crazy shots. And even the other day, you see every time KD's pulling up, he's got a hand in his face. You know, they get nothing easy, and you contrast that with, you know, a team like the Warriors, like the Spurs. So many of their shots are wide open jumpers. I mean, wide open because they make the extra pass. Those are the two best passing teams in the league. I think they're 1 and 3 in the league for assists, or 1 and 2. I can't remember.
And they trust everybody. All five guys, they trust to knock down the shot and to take the shot. Like, whereas, like you guys just pointed out, with OKC, if it's not Westbrook, it's not Durant, then who's it going to be?
Right.
You know, and granted, they traded Harden a few years ago. Maybe that wasn't the best move. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the argument was, well, there's not enough basketballs for all three of those guys.
I was going to say, on that note, kind of on that, there was like some stat that I think OKC had, I think it was like 25 plus possessions that didn't have a pass in it whatsoever. And San Antonio had 39 assists in that game.
Right.
You know, and that's just like goes to show you, I mean, that's a stat that's maybe not everything at all, but shows kind of what the problem is that you're saying, that they only have two options, really, like we've all been talking about.
And that can get you to 50 wins in the regular season.
Because
you're playing a lot of bad teams, and you can just do that. And Westbrook can almost single-handedly, you know, with his triple-double almost every night. It's like,
I mean, he got one in one quarter with when you're placing the Lakers.
Yeah.
18 minutes, right? It was eight.
Yeah,
in 18 minutes, he got a triple-double.
But it's just not going to... It's not going to equate when you're looking at San Antonio in a 7-game series. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think I think this series was done at the end of the first half when the Spurs were up 33 at halftime and really never relinquished that lead. I think they won by 30-something. That game was never close. I watched the first quarter and a half, and I was like, okay, I don't need to watch the rest. I got it. This game's over. And I think what we're all waiting for is what most of us would consider the championship. Even though they won't meet in the NBA Finals, I think it's pretty inevitable at this point that we're talking Spurs and Warriors in the Western Conference semifinals. And I think that if we could just hurry up and get to that point, I think we'll all be happy. And I mean, if we look at it, we could have in the Western Conference or the Western Conference Finals, like I mentioned, we'd have Spurs, Warriors, and in the Eastern Conference, we could potentially have Miami, Cleveland.
Oh, which would be wow. Really interesting, for sure.
Yeah, so, I mean, the ratings for the conference finals could be pretty incredible. All sorts of storylines. And sticking with Miami real quick, have you guys been following this Chris Bosh story at all?
I haven't heard much of him, actually. Yeah. Someone brought him up recently, social media wise, and I was like, they're doing all this without Chris Bosh,
right? You know? So basically, the current situation is he had the issue with
blood clots
yeah. Right, and so he was taking the blood clot medicine, blood thinners, last year, came back from it, was able to play most of the season, and then the issue reoccurred, and he's lobbying to be able to go out and play again. His wife has been wearing Bring Bosh Back shirts at the games. He's been all over social media with Bring Bosh Back, the hashtag Bring Bosh Back. And the funny thing is, the team doctors don't seem to agree. It seems that if this problem continues, that being on that medication, he could die. This could be a life-threatening thing. And so it's just, it's such an odd position to be at, where the employee doesn't want employer doesn't want the employee to work. And it's almost as if they're having to save himself from himself. Mm-hmm. And so many competitionaholics, this is what they do. They'll do anything. I mean, Ronnie Lott cut off his pinky so he could go back in a game. So I think it's hard for, you know, us everyday individuals who, you know, work 9-to-5s or work here or there, and we're pretty average people, you know, if my employer was paying me to stay away, I'd be cool with that, you know. And I think it's just it's just an interesting thing that's going on in Miami, and I was just wondering what you guys thought about that. Maybe start with you, Derek.
No, it's definitely obvious. You got to see the spirit in the guy. He's been wanting to get back out there, but Miami is pretty impressive to see what they've been doing without him on the court. And obviously, having him out there would be a nice compliment. But Luol Deng's kind of come into that role and kind of really shined as being the guy to kind of replace what Bosh was doing, or at least his role in that team. You wish him the best. You don't want him to come out there and have anything fatal on there. But many times, you like to think you know your body better than anyone else does, and I'm sure at that point in time in his career, he's gone through many injuries, and he knows it. You know, you kind of know when you get to a point, like, if my body is really hurting or not. Right. At least we like to think so. Maybe he does think he's all right, but obviously, if your employers are telling, like, your doctors are saying that, especially something as serious as blood clots and what that can do for you and playing on those blood thinners, it probably would be best just kind of sit it out. Your team's still winning. I'm sure they would like you in this next round, but I wonder how effective you would be anyway if you did come out there.
I think that's the whole thing with Chris Bosh as a competitor. He wants to play at the highest level because maybe he knows that not only does he know his body, but maybe he feels like this might be his last chance to compete at this level. You have to look at it that way, because here's an athlete. You mentioned if your boss told you to stay away, I'm giving you X dollars, stay away. Yeah, maybe if you work at Taco Bell, you know, or, you know, any given location. But
no, man, put me in there. I want to make that chalupa.
Thank you, I want in. This is going to be my last chalupa. No, that's the thing, is he loves this game. They're getting paid to do what they love. And, yeah, of course you want a piece of that action, if you would.
I think, you know, as a child of the 80s, late 70s, I still have those horrible images in my mind of seeing Reggie Lewis collapse on the practice floor.
Yeah.
For the Celtics, and passed away shortly after. And of course, there's the memory of Hank Gathers, right. Loyola, and you know, it's just sometimes you got to protect these guys from themselves,
right?
And it is kind of sad because there is an opportunity there for them to go up against LeBron, you know. And I'm sure D Wade and Bosh want to do that together to hey, man, you shouldn't have left, you know? But what's more important is, you know, his family, and I believe he's got kids.
Yep.
And I'm sure that they would rather have their dad there in 20, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the guy's won two championships. He's really got nothing to prove. You know, he's a fantastic basketball player. I mean, you know, they are missing him. I mean, like you said, Ding is a great player, but he can't – I mean, Bosch can step out and knock down threes with, like, real great proficiency. For a big man his size, is really impressive. I'd like to see him in there, but I think, you know, I'm not a doctor. I just want what's best for the guy because he seems like a genuinely good guy.
Right, and he seems so introspective that I just found it, this whole story, fairly fascinating because he seems pretty self-aware, really intelligent guy every time I've ever heard him do an interview. So it's just the whole scenario is pretty strange to me. But yeah, wishing him the best. We'd love to see him back out there, but we'll see how that plays out over the next few months and weeks and years. But moving on, more NBA news. We are in the middle of NBA playoffs. We will try to get to some baseball, maybe even some NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. But the Lakers made a coaching hire that was some pretty big news over the weekend. They hire Warriors assistant Luke Walton. And I know there's a couple of Lakers fans in the house. And last week, if you listen to Say Hey and you listen for 58 minutes, you, at the very end there, you got to hear Derek get very, very inspired when we brought up the Lakers. So I wanted to start there. What do you think about the move, Derek?
You know, Walton, he's a choice that seems like it was a nice fit. Obviously, having played with the Lakers for some time, hadn't won the three, getting some championships there. There's obviously the thought that they're trying to get Phil next year when he's done with the Knicks and that whole experiment that didn't really go anywhere.
I think if you asked a New Yorker, they'd give you Phil Jackson at this point.
Right now, yeah. So it would be interesting to see if that match does happen next year, getting Phil back. That seems where it's me going. Luke Walton, he had that great run to start off with the team. He's had some great, like I say, Steve Kerr is a top quality coach, and having been underneath him for that, you know, that time he was, is obviously going to be beneficial. Having, like I said, Phil Jackson being a coach with a player with him, and we were just saying actually where he found his love for coaching was when he was really injured with the Lakers and was actually doing a lot of the coaching stuff with Phil because he couldn't play. So that's where he found his love. So being able to have that close connection with Phil Jackson, Steve Kerr, top quality coaches like that, it's going to rub off on him, sure. And it's going to be interesting to see how he kind of puts this roster together. He has mentioned that he does like D'Angelo Russell, and he's excited to see where he goes. So nothing to say that he's going to get rid of him, but I'm sure if Noobs was taking over, he'd probably ship that guy right off.
You know, I know I said that to you after the show. Let me backtrack a little bit. What I would like to do is, if I was an executive on the team and the incoming coach, what I'd like to do is sit him down and kind of try and get to, like, why that all went down, how that video was leaked. Did you share it with your buddies, or did you straight give it to TMZ or whatever outlet wanted? You know what I mean? I need to know, because I need to know that this is a one-time incident and that you're going to back the players on the team, and you're a group of brothers, you know what I mean? And you've got to have each other's back. And if a guy's having an affair on his wife, yeah, that's terrible. That's not cool. But at the same time, it's not really up to you to, like, release that information. So I just need to see where his head's at.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Obviously, they spent a high draft pick on him. You don't want to just jettison the kid right away for nothing.
Yeah.
I'm
sure he will. And Swaggy P really hasn't been all that they thought he was going to be. And it's time for a fresh start. You know, it's the post-Kobe era. You know, they got a new coach. Yeah, maybe Phil will be back. And one point to what you were saying, Derek, is one thing I think can't be overlooked is that, you know, he's a Walton, and his father was a Hall of Fame player.
That's
and
very true,
as goofy as he was as a commentator, Bill's got a great basketball mind.
Yeah, he does.
And I'm sure a lot of that has gone into Luke. And Luke, you know, I think has the potential to be a really great coach.
Yeah, I mean,
and they're the Lakers, man. So I don't doubt that they're going to be in playoff contention within 2-3 years.
I mean, obviously, they got to make a splash in this free agent market coming up.
And they're getting a high draft pick, too, right?
They will. Like I said, they have a protected one. Like I said, I think the top three protected again this year. And they have a good chance of getting that top three pick, which is, hey, another good thing, another young talent to get on there. Maybe, like I said, they can work something out to get a veteran player, because that's really what they need at this point. A player who's in his prime and is a star player.
I tell you what, if they draft, like, Ben Simmons, and then they get Kevin Durant, they're automatically a playoff team.
Yeah,
you know
what I mean? Yeah.
Like it's like the it's LeBron factor. If you put LeBron on any team, they're in the playoffs.
Don't be surprised if LeBron ends up in LA.
I don't know about that.
That was a bit of a stretch when I saw that.
I think KD does that same thing. He raises all ships. I think you put him on the Lakers and they get a high draft pick like Simmons, then I'm telling you they're at least a 7 or 8 seed next year.
And I think that, like I said, the roster kind of as constructed without the superstars is a little bit more talent-laden than I think that OKC team is right now in terms of the individual people that they are. Maybe not team-wise, but at least that individual talent is better than OKC. So you get someone like Durant on there, and maybe not other Ben Simmons possibly. Like I said, they could probably become that new OKC team almost. That's like that maybe third, fourth, fifth team right in the mix in the West. So
well, imagine Durant with a pass-first point guard now. No one really thinks about that. Westbrook, great and assist.
That's unfair.
It's unfair, but the mindset and the style of play that Russell can possibly create and play is more beneficiary to his scorer, where Westbrook was, as you can see from the last game against the Spurs, a little more ball dominant. You didn't see a lot of movement. D'Angelo Russell is a player that likes to create for others, as seen in some of his highlights from this past season. The coaching hiring, I love the fact that they brought in a coach early on to create a culture. That something's been missing from the Laker team the last couple of years. What's it called? What do they want to do? It bothered me when they were discussing about the subject of bringing the triangle back. It's like, no, you don't do that with someone that's coming over from a style of play that's up and down, a defensive oriented, but it's everyone gets involved. You know, you don't bring the triangle.
I think those criticisms of Russ Westbrook are a little unfounded.
I agree.
Because I think when the guy leads the NBA in triple doubles, I mean, the fourth stat wasn't blocks. It was, the third stat wasn't blocks. It was assists.
Right.
I mean, the guy can put up 30, 12, and 10 every night. He's a great on the ball defender. I mean, he's a one man fast break. You know what I mean? And Kevin Durant loves playing with him. So you got to go right to the horse's mouth. If you ask him, who would you rather be with? And he loves playing with KD. Westbrook. That's why I think there's that slim possibility that they stay together. I don't think it's going to happen. I just think, in today's NBA, there's very few pass-first point guards. Rajon Rondo comes to mind. But, I mean, even Chris Paul, loves to score. So I just feel like, I don't know. To me, if I started a team right now and they said you can have any point guard you want, if we were redrafting, I would take Russell Westbrook. I love that guy.
Yeah. I mean, besides Steph Curry, he's my favorite player in the league to watch. He plays with such ferocity. And to your point, Noobs, you can tell he and KD are incredibly close.
They
do all their press conferences since the beginning of the season.
Went to bat for him when Cuban said he wasn't a superstar.
Yeah.
He covered the mic and said he's an idiot.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those two guys,
Hollywood couple.
Those guys are bros, dude.
Yeah.
They're like Batman and Robin without, you know what I mean? Except for, I don't want to put that much differentiation in between because I think Westbrook is almost as good for what he can do all around on the court. His defensive capabilities and the fact that, he does maybe dribble a little too much instead of right when you get over half court, getting the ball out of your hands. But a lot of that could be coaching.
I agree.
Know what I mean? And also maybe they just he doesn't feel as confident in his other options besides KD. If he was on the Spurs and he had four or five guys to pass to,
right.
You know what I mean? Obviously it would be four at a time, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They're so deep that the eighth, ninth guy on the bench can score, can play.
Well, and that's one thing that's bothered me with the criticism of Russell Westbrook is that he shoots too much. What do you want the guy to do, especially when KD's not on the floor with him? Who's he passing to?
Right.
You know, no one else on that team really can create for themselves except Dion Waiters, and then Dion Waiters throws up some garbage at the end of the shot clock.
I don't know if you can call that creating anything.
He does stuff out there. But
the ball goes towards the rim.
And so much of this has to do with, the James Harden move and some of the instability when you're making coaching changes and things like that. KD and Russell Westbrook have been the one constant over the last five or so years for OKC. And so it would be interesting to see them in a different style of an offense or with some better players around them. But we'll see. I mean, I think KD signs a one-year option, stays with Russell, and then they're both free agents the same year. That's what I personally think, because I obviously talked to Kevin Durant on a regular basis.
Yeah, clearly.
Yeah. So,
this is some real inside knowledge here.
Only on KZFR, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. But so I got an someone hit me up on Instagram last week and said they listened to the show and they wondered why we never talk about the Sacramento Kings when, you know, they're our closest professional franchise. So I said I'll get some Kings talk on for you, and George Karl's made it really easy because he's been making his rounds through the press recently, and he was talking about how the team was constructed. I don't have any of the quotes in front of me, basically saying it was kind of a dumpster fire and there's no management. What I look to as a direct reflection of that is since the 09 draft, here's a couple of the guys that the Kings have picked. Okay, so they picked Tyreke Evans in 09 and Omri Caspi. Tyreke obviously is no longer with the team. In 2010, they picked DeMarcus Cousins and Hassan Whiteside. Now, can you imagine if Hassan figured it out prior to
going to
Miami? Those two together,
that would be like the new Twin Towers.
Yeah,
you know,
that would have been ridiculous. So, you know,
the DeMarcus, most immature team, though, at that point.
Absolutely. Yeah, that absolutely.
Coach's nightmare.
So that seemed to be a decent draft, and they still have Cousins, who's been an all-star caliber player every year since. But then you go to 2011. Bismack Biyombo, they picked with the 7th pick. Tyler Honeycutt with a 35th pick. And the only guy who lasted out of that draft class was their 60th pick in Isaiah Thomas. Then you go 2012. They drafted with the 5th pick. They picked Thomas Robinson over players like Harrison Barnes, Terrence Ross, and Andre Drummond. 2013, Ben McLemore before CJ, and that was they picked him over CJ McCollum and Antetokounmpo out of Milwaukee there. 2014, Nick Stauskas before Elfrid Payton, Zach LaVine. 2015, Willie Cauley-Stein, which the jury's still out on him. I think he's a good energy player. We'll see what happens. But there was still Stanley Johnson on the board, Justice Winslow, Miles Turner, Trey Lyles, and a guy I've been super, super impressed with, Devin Booker, who I think is going to be a legit player. Yeah. So I think you need look no further than these draft picks. Besides DeMarcus Cousins, almost none of these guys are still on the team, besides Ben McLemore, and I believe Caspi's still on the team.
Well, some of the picks themselves weren't bad. It's just that they didn't keep the guys.
Right.
Yeah. Imagine Whiteside and Isaiah Thomas on the team. You know what I mean? Yes. Like with Rudy Gay, that's a pretty good team right there.
And they got almost nothing back for Tyreke Evans.
Right.
You know,
that's the thing. I think the GM is just over the last 10 years, granted, it's been different GMs, but they just don't show any patience in player development. It's like these kids don't work out in the first couple of years and they just ship them off and don't get anything for them.
Right.
He went over that list, and I think it's amazing that one of the best players, if not the second best player from those drafts, is Isaiah Thomas. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
The 60th overall pick, because he was diminutive and maybe wasn't big enough for NBA GMs and but scouts. I think that's
it shows
amazing.
The NBA draft is kind of a crapshoot, to be honest
Absolutely.
With you.
I mean, and you can't fault him because it is a crapshoot, you know, and you're going to hit on some guys and you're going to miss on some guys. I mean, just look at the Philadelphia 76ers and what they've been doing during this rebuilding process. I mean, no one has turned out to be a stud as of yet, and their whole goal was, all right, let's suck so we could get good in a hurry, and it hasn't worked out. So it is a crapshoot, but if you just look at this list, I mean, the player development, like you said, Noobs, has just been lacking. You know, they ship off guys like an Isaiah Thomas, like a Hassan Whiteside, when if they had a culture, and you look at the Spurs and how important culture is, or even the Warriors and how they've turned it around. They turned it around through good draft picks and then developing those good draft picks. I mean, Steph Curry, you could see he was going to be good from his rookie year. No one thought he was going to be this, you know, and that has a lot to do with the individual himself and, you know, his own individual work ethic and so on and so forth. But then you look at how they built their team with players around him, like a Klay Thompson, like a Draymond Green, who was a second round pick, you know, like a Harrison Barnes. You know, they found players that complemented each other, where when you see that they got Nick Stauskas, Thomas Robinson, and Ben McLemore, all in back-to-back-to-back seasons, they all essentially play the same position.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes you kind of question the leadership there. Obviously, the owner got into kind of put his foot in his mouth when he said he wanted to play 5-on-4.
Oh, my God.
And it just, you know, they got Vladdy Divac just chain-smoking as the GM, and it's just...
I mean, when you have, like, a coach, like, the quality of George Carlin, he's a respectable coach in the NBA, coming out and saying the things like he was and not really seeing it's kind of a crapshoot of an organization there and does not a whole lot of leadership. That's a... So you got to say something. I mean, because he's not a... you know, a coach to take lightly. You know, he is a guy who's won many games and he's been there around the league for a lot of time.
Taken a lot of mediocre teams very deep.
He has, yes. You know?
So, yeah, if he doesn't command respect in that locker room, who is? You know, do you need a young coach? Do you need like a Brad Stevens, Luke Walton type? You know,